Hey, it's Georgia Bryce from the Building According to Pattern podcast series. Thank you so much for tuning in today. All of my listeners across the United States and all those countries across the globe, a wonderful good afternoon. It's actually good afternoon for me here, so a wonderful good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for joining me today again. One of my favorite teachers of all time, Mrs. Bryson, taught me both English and literature for a significant portion of my high school years. It was under her tutelage that my love of the English language began to blossom. I must admit that back then, some of the concepts made absolutely no sense whatsoever to me, and I often wondered what was the whole point of learning about paradoxes and puns and metaphors and similes. But as I matured, I learned to value those lessons. And more so, the power of words. Words are so powerful. They're like dynamite. In my walk with God, my Heavenly Father, I discovered something else. Jesus' love of words, too, and how he was able to masterfully take words and weave narratives or parables as they're generally referred to. Taking complex spiritual ideas and putting them in everyday vernacular or terms that even a child could easily and readily understand. His whole intent was to ensure that no one would miss the principles he was seeking to convey. Now, in this segment of the Building According to Pattern podcast series, it's an expansion to the discussion that we previously initiated, laying the slab to your future. And if you can recall, we discussed at length the purpose and importance of having a solid foundation laid for your life if you intend on making it into the destiny that your master designer had in mind for you when he intricately put your life together. Making it there is one thing, but being able to maintain and sustain your newly found position is a whole other ballgame. And this is often the place where most people fail miserably. Some of them stumble at this point and fall apart, oftentimes never being able to fully recover. How many leaders have you heard of in the church, in government, and in society at large whose lives were ripped apart by scandals and colossal failures and that were never ever able to reassemble and recover to their former glory? They lost their platform, their place of influence, and subsequently became irrelevant, not having anyone interested in hearing what they have to say anymore. Their lives, as it were, becoming the latest punchlines and the butt of many jokes. Why? All from a failure to lay the right foundation to their lives from the start. That is certainly not the vision I have for my life. How about you? Is it in your plans to make it to the top of your game only to come crashing down years from now? Or is it your intention to not only make it to the top, but to remain in that position? That, my friend, will demand a strong degree of commitment on your part and a decision and the determination to build your life in sync with the principles and patterns developed by your master designer and manufacturer that are guaranteed to bring you success in all of your endeavors. Those principles and patterns are detailed in your manual, which is the Word of God. So last time we discussed at length the importance of laying the foundation to your life with diligence and care. We said that a cracked and faulty foundation will eventually haunt you in the long run, no matter how beautiful the building of your life appears. If you do not work hard at this stage to take care of the sins and habits that violate the standards detailed in the Word of God, if you do not make the decision at this stage to walk away from ungodly practices and ungodly relationships, if you do not work hard to bring your body under subjection to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, failure is in your future. And that's a guarantee. Many a leader has lost his seat of authority and power because he did not know how to keep his zipper up. He never practiced it from earlier on in life while the foundation was being laid. That is not the vision that I have for you, for your life. So my intent through this podcast is to partner with you in working hard to ensure that you make it into your destiny, and not only make it into your destiny, but staying there when you get there. So we're going to pick up where we left off. And the title of today's message is Locked Out Inside. Now remember my little intro earlier with a walk down memory lane? Well, here is a lesson in the use of oxymorons. So for all the English zealots out there, yes, I'm letting you know my statement is grammatically correct. Just thought I'd add that. At first, it might seem that my topic makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. A contradiction of some sort. How can something or someone be locked out inside, you might ask? Well, it happens all the time. Let me take the next few minutes to unravel this great mystery in light of my intent to hammer home the value of laying a solid foundation to your life. I previously looked at a passage from our manual that states clearly that our bodies were built to house the presence of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And so, by virtue of this truth, we do not have the right to use it or do with it whatever we want, take it wherever we want to, or put into it or on it whatever we feel like, even though so many people do. I further went on to give you details concerning the sins and practices that are in direct violation of the standards detailed in your manual, and your responsibility to get rid of these sins and practices or risk missing out on the benefits and the blessings available to those who truly love and follow after God. Not those who only pretend to love God or say they do but continue to disobey His words. This information is found in Galatians 5, verse 19 through 20. But I want you to know that there are other elements that could be at work in your life that could sabotage you and keep you from making it into your destiny. These sins and weights are usually not as blatant as, say, violating your temple. But they're equally as dangerous, and if not corrected quickly, are also guaranteed to bring about faults and cracks and structural integrity issues in the foundation of your life. To help you understand the value in what I'm saying, I want to go through one of those parables that Jesus presented to the religious zealots of his time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And one thing I need to point out to you about these religious folks is that no one was more religious and legalistic as these two groups of people. If anyone was going to inherit the blessings of the kingdom of God and make it into heaven, it would be these religious fanatics. Or not. For you see, as religious and as pious as they were, their hearts were filled with hatred, pride, selfishness, anger, gossiping, backbiting, jealousy, envy, and bitterness. They did not love or value others and thought that they were more superior or better than everyone else around them because they thought they had it together more than anyone else. They looked down on other people and treated them with indifference. No other group of people was known to be as antagonistic toward Jesus as the religious people in his time when he was on earth. Not even the prostitutes and the publicans, who were considered the worst of the worst. The Pharisees and Sadducees hated the Son of God with a vengeance. And throughout the New Testament books that give an account of Jesus' life when he was on earth, they constantly looked for opportunities to destroy him. Can you imagine? These were what we would call in our time, quote-unquote, church folks. In service every day of the week, talking about loving God, and yet their hearts were so far from him, they didn't even recognize him when he showed up in their midst. How can you be locked out inside? Well, let's examine a parable in your manual, detailed in the book of Luke chapter 15, verse 25 to 28. As always, for the sake of time, I will give you a brief synopsis of what was going on prior to this point, which will give you the opportunity to go read the entire narrative for yourself, which I'm encouraging you to do. So this is what we have going on. The so-called religious leaders were gossiping about Jesus and criticizing him for mixing with the notorious sinners, including the tax collectors and the prostitutes. Being aware of this discussion, Jesus shared three parables. And now a parable, it's a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. He shared three parables with them to make the point that, number one, God values every human life, and two, he wants to restore them to a right relationship with him, no matter the state that they're in. Now, in his third parable, he shared about a narrative of a Jewish man who had two sons. One day, the younger son had this brilliant idea to go ask his father for his inheritance, which was an assault on so many fronts in that cultural setting and a definite no-no. And when he got his money, he left home and went as far away as he could. You know, like in our times, so many young people want to get away from their parents because their parents are so horrible and dumb and won't allow them to have fun. Yeah, it's nothing new. So this kid gets his inheritance and goes off to some faraway country and lived it up, spending his money on all these wild parties, sleeping around, and the works. I'm not sure if they had clubs and drugs back then, but whatsoever was in, he was feeling it. He was rolling high until the money ran out. And when that did, so did the women, and so did the so-called friends. Here he was, destitute, lost, lonely, hungry, and broke. He had to find some money, a way out of his misery, so he did the only thing he could, a real last resort. He got a job with a man that was below his social class, a Gentile, commonly referred to as a dog by the Jewish people back then, to feed pigs. Imagine, pigs of all things. That was the worst kind of animal for a Jew to be associated with. Well, the situation got worse. He got so hungry, he seriously started thinking of eating the pig's leftovers. Can you imagine this? The depth to which sin can sink a human being? Well, one day, as the story continued, this kid had a eureka moment. He came to his senses and decided to go home, thinking that he would rather be accepted as a servant in his father's house, where he would be treated far better than where he was currently at. So he swallowed his pride, humbled himself, and did just that. As he approached his home, there in the distance, a long way off, his father saw him coming. Recognizing that this was his youngest son, his baby, the father lifted up his skirt and ran to meet his son, forgetting about all the protocols of his time. When he finally got to his son, he hugged him and squeezed him and welcomed him home. He accepted his son's apology, but quickly diverted his attention to his servants to tell them, "Bring out the best robe and sandals and a ring to place on his long-lost son, and to get the biggest party ever going." He was ready to celebrate his son's return, and that they did. Now that I've set the stage for you, let's pick up in verse 25 of this chapter. And this is what it says. "Now the man's older son was still out in the fields working. He came home at the end of the day and heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what was going on. The servant said, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has butchered the fattest calf to celebrate his safe return.' The older brother got really angry and refused to come inside. So his father came out and pleaded with him to join the celebration. But he argued back, 'Listen, all these years I've worked hard for you. I've never disobeyed one of your orders. But how many times have you given me a little goat to roast for a party with my friends? Not once. This is not fair. So this son of yours comes, this wasteful delinquent who has spent your hard-earned wealth on loose women, whores. And what do? You butcher the fattest calf from our herd. The father replied, "My son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. Isn't it right to join in the celebration and be happy? This is your brother we're talking about. He was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and is found again." Now here was the older son, the one who stayed in the house and remained faithful in his duties to his father, doing what was required of him. Seeming like the quintessential role model, at least on the surface. Yet, he was filled with anger and bitterness and resentment and even unforgiveness. Now, to be fair to the older brother, I could understand him feeling the way he did. The situation really seemed unfair. Here he was doing everything he was supposed to do and looking on him. From the outside, it would appear that he was a perfect son. But something was wrong. His heart condition. It was filled with all of these things that were not readily visible. But the moment the situation arose, everything that was hidden started surfacing. He murmured and complained to his father. "How could you give to him and do for him all of this after everything he's done to our family? Here I have served you faithfully, and yet you have never done anything like this for me." Now, what the older son failed to recognize, as his father later pointed out to him, was that he had always had access to everything his father had all along. The inheritance was his. It was available. Though he was inside the home, yet, because of his heart condition, he was locked out from what was meant to be his. He was locked out while being on the inside. Now, I find that what we fail to teach, and even more so fail to understand, is that the sins of the younger son were just as treacherous and dangerous as the heart condition of the older son. Whether it's anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, backbiting, gossiping, jealousy, envy, resentment, malice, strife, double-mindedness, doubt, fear, pride, or it's sexual immorality, lying, cheating, drunkenness, revelings. All of these habits and practices will lock us out of the inheritance that our master designer has for us. You can be actively involved in your church community. Inside the house, so to speak. But if any of these things are evident in your life, you can be locked out inside. It's like standing in the foyer of a 10-bedroom house, but not having access to any of those rooms. Where I live here in the United States, regardless of the size or intended use, all buildings must comply with zoning ordinances, building codes, and other regulations such as fire codes, life safety codes, and related standards. And when an inspection is conducted for all these buildings, no matter the shape, size, or intended purpose, they're going to be judged by these basic parameters, and the standards must be met. Until those standards are met, the building cannot be occupied. If you want to walk out the purpose for which God has placed you here in the earth, if you are intent on making it into your destiny, it's time to get your foundation in order. Don't be locked out of what your master designer has for you. Our Heavenly Father, we are ready to get it together. We are ready to build our lives synchronized with your principles and patterns. Search our hearts, and if there's anything present that might block us from inheriting your blessings and favor upon our lives, as we seek to move into our destinies, make it plain so that we can correct it. Deliver us from pride and self-deception, and all the hidden sins of the heart. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you so much again for joining me on this segment of the Building According to Pattern podcast series. I want to invite you to visit my podcast page as always. If you want to check in to listen to the messages over, please feel free to do so. That address is batpllc.podbean.com. And of course, information is available on my YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube, you type in the name of the organization, Building According to Pattern LLC. That is going to bring you to my channel, and you could check out the messages that are available there as well. I would love to hear from you. Please do send me questions and concerns that you might have. And if you have a particular topic or a particular issue that you'd like to hear addressed via this podcast, please feel free to send me that information. That address is info@buildingaccordingtopattern.com. I would be so happy to get a discussion underway related to the topic that you're interested in. I'm excited to announce an addition to our podcast series. It is my intention that from time to time I will be having special guests join me during selected segments to help make practical some of the messages that I have and will be presenting. And this for me is a very exciting undertaking, and it's something that I'm definitely looking forward to as I get ready to move in this direction. And I hope you are also looking forward to this as well. It was an absolute pleasure spending this time with you as we continued our discussion on laying the foundation to your lives, or to our lives. And I'm definitely looking forward to connecting with you on our upcoming segment this Wednesday. As always, be blessed, stay blessed, and take care. Bye.